Well, a warm welcome to you who just tuned in. This is a production of Good News Community Radio Station, and you're listening to the program called At Ease, and it is made possible for us by the South African Military Christian Fellowship. I am your host, Chris Meyer, and this is program number 151. You are about to listen to Chaplain Ben Smith as he's going to read for us out of John 19, verse 23, and the theme is Seamless. Then dive deep with Henry de Prier with three Bible questions. After that will be Lieutenant Moholani with the South African Navy Band will play for us a song called Joyful, Joyful. Then Pastor Willem Conradi will be up next with Discipling with Willem. Then Graham Wilson will narrate for us a testimony out of the Military Challenge newspaper. After the testimony will be Riri's Corner, then dive deep again with the three answers to those questions by Henlu DP, and then we will have Tanya Kutsia with her time slot concerning Forward with Hope. And then we play out with Lieutenant Moholani and the South African Navy Band, The Day Thou Cravest. Let's listen now to Chaplain Ben Smith.
Today's scripture reading comes from John 19, verse 23, and the theme for today is Seamless. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, no beginning, no end, seamless from eternity to eternity. In his relationship with Father God, he is one in seamless fellowship. His ministry on earth, unwavering and uncompromising, from birth to death, to resurrection, to ascension, seamless. His seamless garment had to go as a gift to someone. It could not be divided. In the same way, he gave life to you and me, and we cannot transfer or divide that gift. His love for us is without limits and seamless. In your walk with Christ, your garment would be tested. And in your relationship with Him, it should be found seamless. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that we are reminded of your prayer for us, that we may be one, just as you are one in Christ and He in you. We pray for a seamless relationship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Chaplain Ben Smith, for John 19:23. Dive deep, Henlu de Prier.
How well do you know your Bible? Welcome everyone, my name is Henlo DP and it is time for the Dive Deep Quiz. Before we get to our two Bible questions, let's first start with a military question. The question is, what is the nickname of the Navy's number one summer parade uniform? I'll repeat it, what is the nickname of the South African Navy's number one summer parade uniform? Second question is, who baptized Jesus? And the third question is, who is the commander of King David's army? There's the three questions. I will give you the answers a little bit later in the program.
Thank you, Henlu, for those three questions. Now it is Lieutenant Moholani's turn with the South African Navy Band, Joyful, Joyful. What an honor to listen to such a beautiful piece of music. Then, Discipling with Willem.
Hello, good evening to all of you. We are here again on Discipling with Willem. And most welcome to all who listen in, from you who are in the military and in security forces, and then, of course, all the rest of us, all of the non-military, the civilians. Most welcome. And as you know, we concentrate on Discovery Bible Study. And tonight, we want to go back to a program that we had quite a few weeks ago with that time Peter and Diane and Edith was also there on Acts 13, but we just did the first part. So we want to go back to that, as I promised, and unfortunately Diane is not here, but welcome also to Edith and to Peter. And we will do this together. So we won't do the first part because we've already done that, but let's start with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is powerful and that is like dynamite and can really blow us away, but also can comfort us and can teach us in a gentle way. And tonight, Lord, we have this wonderful story from the book of Acts. In chapter 13, and we pray that you will teach us, but also, if it's necessary, put some fire under us to get us moving, and also our churches. And so we come to you with expectancy that you will teach us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good. Acts 13, verse 1 to 4. Can either Edith or Peter read for us, please? Okay, thanks, Edith.
Acts chapter 13. Barnabas and Saul sent off. Verse 1.
In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus.
Thank you, Edith. Yeah, usually we read it twice, but because of time limitations, we do everything just once. So now the next step is then to ask one of you just to tell back the story. Well, I think that must be Peter then, because Edith read. Just tell the story in your own words, please, Peter.
Yeah, so as I understand it, they were gathered there in the church, gentlemen, and they were praying and worshipping and fasting later. And that isn't wonderful. The Holy Spirit then spoke to them while they were worshipping and fasting. Then the Holy Spirit said, told them to set apart Barnabas and Saul. And and to send them, I guess, to preach the gospel. And they worshipped some more, and after fasting, then they laid their hands on them and committed them to the Lord and the ministry now of going out to preach the precious gospel. And being a sailor, I love the fact that they sailed to some far off land. But isn't it wonderful that, to me, yeah, the story tells us that they were set apart, and they and God had rubber stamped this being sent to go and preach the gospel.
Thank you. Thanks, Peter. I think anything you wanted to add?
No, I think Peter.
Yes. Yeah, no, thanks, Peter. Just, yeah, they were the leaders in the church, it says, the prophets and the teachers. Yeah, but that was well told back. Thanks, Peter. So let's get right into the questions now. So the first question is just, what do we learn here about the people in the story and about God? Might be God, the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, but what do we learn about the people and then God in the story? Okay, let's open up. And let's first take, what do we learn about God?
We learn about God, the Holy Spirit, while they were worshipping and fasting. Lord, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. And also, the Holy Spirit sent them on their way. That's what I gathered here.
Yeah. Anything to add there, Peter?
No, in God's wonderful plan, here were Barnabas and Saul, great men of God, and were going to be greatly used by God. And this is God's wonderful plan. To send them forth as missionaries, I guess they also were prepared to listen for God's quiet, still voice through the Holy Spirit to give them the orders and instructions, as we'd say in the Navy.
The sailing orders.
Sailing order.
Yes. Okay. So that's we see that, as you've said, just to summarize, in this mission, that the Holy Spirit was very active, and spoke to them. You said silently. We don't know whisper or what made it. We don't know in what way, but he spoke to them, and they heard. And as Ida said, not only in telling them to set apart, but also to send them on their way. What a great thought. Sent on their way by the Spirit. Yeah. So God, what would you say about God in mission then? That we can, what are we?
I think it's important that God wants us, the Great Commission, to be available to share the good news, to go forth. And I mean, they knew that God was sending them, and there's no doubt in their mind that the Holy Spirit would be with them, and God would be with them and see them and give them divine appointments along the way. So this is a wonderful hope, and they could just trust God through all this.
Good. So you've automatically gone to the next question. Then what do we learn about the people in the story? You've already said, yeah, but that's great. That's great. It flows from the one to the other. So anything, Edith, from your side? Well, let's first say, who are the people in the story?
Well, according to what we've read, they were prophets and teachers. So it means that all of them were in some way teachers or prophets. There was Barnabas and Saul and Simon and Lucius and Manian. And and they were, I think they were also the elders in the church who fasted and prayed. And it's actually wonderful that they set that time apart for God to listen and to hear what he wanted to tell them. Through prayer and fasting, and then in a wonderful way, God revealed his plan to them about missions.
Yes.
And it seems that the mission, the great mission plan started with a great missionary.
Absolutely. And while, and it's so wonderful, and as you said, while they were worshiping and praying, the Holy Spirit said, so the mission was born out of prayer and fasting. Yeah, great. And then a very definite call. So of course, and these were then leaders in the church who were sent as missionaries. We read here. Okay, let's go on and just say, what is there a good example for us to follow in the story?
I think they were obedient. I mean, They suddenly heard about this being thrown out of their comfort zone. I mean, I don't think they would have ever said no, because they heard the Holy Spirit speaking to them. But the lesson is trust and obey. They were going to go and do what the Holy Spirit told them to do.
They were obedient. Well, there are many people, I think, who are not obedient. So it is a lesson for us, an example.
Yeah, it seems for the church leaders, it's a good thing to worship and fast and pray regularly so that God can work through them and tell them what to do as leaders and in the church. That's what happened here.
So who were obedient? Was it the leaders or Saul and Barnabas?
I think they all were.
They were both. That's the leaders of the church immediately were obedient, and then Paul, Saul and Barnabas.
Were probably obviously sorry to lose Paul and Barnabas, who were so, such great teachers in the church there at Antioch.
So they sent the best people. Okay. That's a good. Is there a command for us?
A command. Well, I think Edith hit the nail on the head really when she said, you know, our Heavenly Father is the same yesterday, today and forever. So we must continue as they did in our fasting and praying and worshipping and expect, especially if we're wondering where to next or what to, where's God leading me, that God will be faithful and will tell you what to do.
Good. Just how will you obey this? This is from the story. What will you do as a result of reading this story? And
I think it's to keep on in worship and not neglect fasting, which takes you closer to God, and to listen out for the still voice of the Holy Spirit talking to us. And so not so much often to ask, or pray, but to also be still. And because communication is both ways.
Wonderful,
And God will speak to us either directly like he did here, or through his word. We can all testify to how often scripture gives us the answer as well.
That's right, And who are you going to share the story with, Ida?
I will share it, I hope, with some of the people at the church and our children, and probably encourage grandchildren also to to go and teach God's word to others.
Thanks a lot. Our time is finished, so thank you for sharing. And as you go out and obey and share it with others, may God bless you. Bye.
We're going to listen now to a testimony, and it will be narrated for us by Graeme Wilson.
Augustine Chinkoa's testimony is taken from The Challenge, the good newspaper, military edition. Typhoid altered life direction. Deathly ill from misdiagnosed typhoid, Augustine Chinkoa was told his chances of survival were slim, and he knew he needed to prepare for the worst-case scenario. The day I started treatment, I could not sleep because I felt that my hours were numbered, Augustine recalls on that fateful time in 1993. Up until this point in his life, he'd resisted his friend's warning about what lay ahead for him after death. "I had a friend who spoke to me about Jesus Christ for several years without success," he explains. This friend feared for Augustine's spiritual health, knowing that if he did not accept Jesus as his personal Lord and Saviour, he would not be forgiven for his sins and go to heaven. While Augustine lay on his deathbed, he could not stop thinking about his friend's words and sent someone to find him. "My intention was to make peace with God before dying," Augustine explains. The person he sent that day could not find Augustine's friend, but instead returned with a Christian sister. "I told her I wanted her to pray for my healing," he recalls when she arrived. "I did not actually tell her to pray for my salvation because my whole family was gathered in my room, and such a prayer topic would have triggered weeping on both sides." While this woman was praying for his recovery, Augustine says he was secretly praying for much more. "I was saying something like this to God, 'Lord Jesus, my whole life I've fought against you. I always did the opposite of what you expected of me. Now I recognize that I've always sinned against you. Come into my life, forgive my sins, and welcome me when I die,'" he says. That day, God answered both my prayer and the request of the sister who prayed for my healing. A few days later, Augustine says he emerged from his illness, completely transformed. "My beliefs had changed, and my values too. I could think only of one thing: learn more about the God who healed me, not only physically but spiritually, and announce him to everyone." 6 years after his healing, Augustine has been so impacted by the changes God had made in his life that he resigned from his job as a mine prospector and started training for full-time Christian ministry. Today he works for Campus Crusade for Christ and is the military ministry director of Cameroon, with the aid of sharing the same life-transforming message his friend had lovingly shared with him. An inspiring account of the Lord Holy Spirit taking over in a repentant person's life, in this case Augustine's life, and the resulting passion to share with others what God can do for you if you're willing to listen, trust, and obey His direction to you.
Thank you, Graeme, for that testimony. Cape Town is up next. Riri's Corner.
Good evening, South Africa. Good evening, listeners of At Ease program. I am Riranzo Manganyi. I'd like to welcome you to Riri's Corner this evening. I hope you have enjoyed your long weekend as we had our Women's Day holiday. As we are celebrating, we are in the month of women's. We celebrate women, we celebrate at our workplaces, the women you stay with, the women who you work with, the women you encounter on the street, on the roads. Let us celebrate them, the women who are making difference in our lives. We are going to start our release corner with our prayer, AMCF prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Bless the servicemen and women of all nations and grant us the joy of being all in one in Christ Jesus, that we may be filled with your love and pass it to one another until his coming again. Amen. We are going to read our scripture reading from the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verses 6. And it reads, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seed will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God will generously provide all you need. And then you will always have everything you need, plenty and leftovers to share with others. As the scripture said, they shared freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will always be remembered forever. For God is the only one who provides the seed to the farmer and then the bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Amen. This scripture teaches us a lot about giving, that let us give, let us share to those that do not have, the people that we see, that they can, you see in the street, maybe they don't have clothes and you know that you've got plenty of clothes and you can share with them, let us do so. The people that we see on the streets, they are hungry, they do not have food, let us share with them. Let us teach ourselves to give from our heart, not for fame. Like nowadays, there's a lot of things that are happening where people are just giving to be famous, to be famous givers, to so that they can post it on their pages, on their social pages, and to be recognized. But let us not give for that, because the Bible says that let us not give because of pressure, but let us give generously. Let us give out of our heart. Let us give because we want to give. Let us not give because we want the other to give. The Bible says that let not your what you do with your left hand, let not your right hand know, because we are not doing it to announce, but we are doing it to help the other people who are not privileged as we are. Let us practice that. Even in our workplaces, there are people that you find that, yes, they are working. Yes, they are soldiers. Yes, they've got salaries on the 15th, but maybe their responsibilities are just too much. And you find that at that time, they don't have anything to eat. They do not have anything to, they run out of maybe electricity. If you are able to help, you can help your friend, you can help your brother, you can help your sister, that, okay, let me assist you. I can see you are going through a challenge. It will help us to also reduce depression and all those kind of challenges that our soldiers are going through in this era, in this time. So let us continue to help each other and be a kind givers. Thank you very much. Have a good evening. God loves you and I love you so much. And remember, our contact is 083-786-3640. I repeat, 083-786-3640. And our email address is smcf3@gmail.com. I repeat, smcf3@gmail.com. And our email address is is@gnsr.org.za. God, have a good day.
Folks, I trust that you are ready for your three answers concerning the three questions with Henlu de Pria.
Okay, it is time to reveal the answers to today's Dive Deep quiz. First question was, what is the nickname of the Navy's number one summer parade uniform? The answer is, it is called an ice cream suit. Second question was, who baptized Jesus? The answer is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, baptized him in the Jordan River. This event marked the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. John's role as the one who prepares the way for the Messiah was foretold in the Old Testament. By baptizing Jesus, John fulfills his prophetic mission. Third question was, who was the commander of King David's army? The answer is Joab. Joab was the commander of King David's army and played a crucial role in many of David's military victories. He was a skilled warrior and strategist, but also known for his ruthless actions. Joab's leadership helped establish David's reign and secure the kingdom of Israel. And that is it. We've come to the end of today's Dive Deep quiz. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, continue to read your Bible, which is the Word of God. Where better to find the answers to life's questions than from the one that created us all? Until next time, bye.
Thank you, Henlu, for those three answers. Now, all LPTSD sufferers, stand closer, draw closer. It's Forward with Hope by Tanya Kutsia.
Very warm welcome to all of you listening in for this episode of At Ease. This section of the program is called Forward with Hope, as we explore post-traumatic stress disorder and the road to healing. I am Tanya, and I'm traveling this road with you. We have come some distance already on this road of discovery. We started out by looking into what is post-traumatic stress disorder, what it does to your body and soul and spirit, why it happens, and we have looked at the reasons we must talk about this very difficult subject. We have seen so far that the diagnosis is not a life sentence. There is healing, but it does not come overnight. So please stay with me, my friends. Stay with me on this road as we continue to discover ways of help and healing. And we will discover further there is hope for a better tomorrow. I would like to offer you some gentle advice at this point. I really don't want to delve too deeply into heavy conversation in this episode. I just want to have this gentle conversation with you, offering you hope, encouraging you to go on, to keep on, to start a new day, a fresh day. Please do not compare your current state of PTSD or a loved one's current state of PTSD to that of others who have also gone through trauma. Of course, there will be parallels to other people's experiences, but as we are all unique individuals, we all respond to events differently and so have unique recovery journeys. It's not always better to heal more quickly. And it's also acceptable if some people do heal more quickly than others. Everybody heals at a different pace. Acquiring knowledge and achieving healing are our objectives, and we shall arrive at the solution and the healing we seek. We move steadily forward, steadily ahead. We will get there. We will get to answers and healing. Don't give up. Friends, do not give up. Just go steadily forward, one foot in front of the other, taking the day as it comes. When we compare ourselves with others and think they are doing a better job than us at healing, they are healing faster, we may ask ourselves, why can't I be at that place and they can't? Why can't I heal that fast? We may start to think there is something wrong with us, and a new cycle of darkness can start in our minds that way. But like I said, we all heal at our own pace. The objective is to get to healing. So, during the last week, I've had some very interesting conversations with people who have been influenced by PTSD in some way or another. And it's also very interesting that it occurs more and more that I meet people who have gone through deep trauma and have a story to tell. So this man I was talking to, he was talking to me about his neighbor. His neighbor is a military veteran, and after all the years, he cannot sleep. He is not able to have a normal, fulfilling relationship with the people around him. He experiences all sorts of physical difficulties and illnesses due to the prolonged PTSD symptoms in his life. And we talked about the ineffective ways people try to deal with what they experience. We also continued this conversation about the healing that is available. And that gives me hope, and that gives me a glimmer in my eyes and hope in my heart for everybody out there who has experienced trauma and is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Those people who stand outside of PTSD and look to those who have been diagnosed cannot always understand what is going on. But for those of us who has gone through this ourselves and has come out of the darkness, we want to offer you hope. And actually, I want to say to you, why don't you borrow my hope? Why don't you borrow my faith today and carry it in your hands for the day of tomorrow so that you can go on? There is hope. There is healing. I just simply want to share with you some good news to lift you up and give you that hope for the days ahead of you. Some days are brighter than other days, but even when the day is overcast and dark, I want to give you hope, and I want to encourage you to go on. You may find it hard to believe that a troubled person such as yourself can be precious to God. You may think that God has to be disgusted with you because of all your problems. Maybe you still believe that He loves you, but surely God is disappointed because you have failed Him so many times. Are those the thoughts that go through your mind? Well, let's replace those thoughts with the truth of the Word of God. And in the words of God Himself, Isaiah 43 verse 4, "Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you." The prophet's message of grace was spoken to people who had been in dire straits. They have been robbed and snared in holes, cast into prison. Despite all their failures, all their difficulties, God came to them with a message of hope and love. "Since you are precious in my sight, honored, I have loved you." Isaiah 43 verse 4. What a precious verse. Why don't you write that down for yourself to keep for the days that you do not feel very loved? The devil has convinced so many people that they have disappointed God and that He will never be able to please Him. Consequently, they don't accept His love and live as if His wrath, His anger, is always breathing down on them. That is a horrible way to go through life. Oh, how pained God must be when He sees people living this way, because He knows that He loves you. My message to you today is to decide to trust God. No matter how you feel at this moment, no matter what has happened to you or what others say, the truth is God loves you. Trust in His love and grace, which can change your life. No matter how unworthy or disappointed we may feel, the truth is not influenced or swayed by our emotions. It is like a rock standing in a stormy sea. It is not swayed by the waves that comes and bangs against it, because it is truth. This truth that God loves you is the same. It is a rock, no matter the waves of emotions that may come and go. When you accept the love that God has for you and accept the fact that He does not reject you and has made a way for you to change, a very heavy load will fall off your shoulders. Jesus Christ already carried the load for you at Calvary, so give that load back to Him. In trusting Him, you will find new hope to face PTSD and all the difficult circumstances of life. Let Him love you. Isaiah 49 verse 15 and 16. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Those are the words of God, again, the truth. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The words of God. So that's why I say, just take the new day as it comes. Because the word of God says, His mercy is new every morning. It is clear from so many scriptures that we are precious in the sight of God. In Psalm 103, God says, He knows we are dust. He knows that we are frail. And He knows the traumas that happens to us in life are so difficult to carry. We are not actually designed to carry that. He knows that. He knows that we are dust. But He is there to carry us and to take the load off our shoulders. He is closer than you think. If your emotions are in turmoil like a stormy sea, reach out for help despite your emotions. Reach out to God. You can reach out to me. Remember our website, forwardwithhope.co.za, where we add new material constantly for you to read and to listen to help you. You can send me email, you can send your story, you can ask questions, or you can just have a nice talk with me. I am there for you. I'm traveling this road with you. And with this, I want to leave you. Choose the truth over lies. You are loved, and you are precious in the sight of God. Your life is worth healing, and God is always with you. Until the next time, we go forward with hope. Bless you, my dear friends. Bless you.
Thank you, Tanya. I trust that our listeners has benefit tonight to this wonderful program. We're going to sign out now and play out with our last South African Navy band by Lieutenant Moholani as the leader of that, The Day Thou Cravest. Folks, until next Tuesday, the Lord's willing, the same time, the same place, be at ease.